Would you join me in prayer? Thank you, Lord, for your word. Speak to our hearts, Spirit of God. Open up our ears and the depths of our spirit to understanding the things that you have for us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When my son was 1 year old, about that time, he was a handful to put to sleep. I mean, put in the bed to sleep. And so I would have to go in often and just kind of lay next to his crib while he kind of works at it. So I remember oftentimes I would pick him out of there. He just wouldn't stay down. And I would lay on the floor by a window. We were living in Brooklyn at the time in an apartment. And we looked up. I remember this one particular time. We looked up, and it was a clear sky. It was dark, and the moon was there. And he loved the moon. He's seen it many times, and he pointed at it many times. It's a boon, you know. Couldn't say moon, so boon, boon, boon. And so I said, Ryan, would you like that? Do you want that moon? And he kind of half understood and said, yes, you know. And I kind of faked it, grabbed it. You know, this can be yours. Let me tell you something, those of you that are parents. If I can give him the moon, I would give him the moon. We love our children, and we want to give the best things for them we could. But I couldn't really make a promise like that because I don't have the power to give the moon to my son. Nor would he want it when he grows up, right? Promises. They're precious. You got to understand what a promise does for someone. When you make a promise, especially to your children, oh, you want to keep that promise, okay? I mean, they hang on to these things. Unfortunately, we live in a society and an age in which promises are meaningless almost. Half the promises made on wedding days are broken. And there's so many other promises. Oh, forget about what the politicians promise, even our own family. But I want to tell you that God made promises to his people, and these are important. Today I want to speak to you in this passage about embracing his promise. First of all, God made a promise, and God gave it to Abraham. One day, Abraham was, I think, about in the mid-80s. God said, Abraham, I want you to come out. I want you to come out and go into the night sky, and it's not a big city here. Just look up in the sky. Count the stars, if you can. And so he did. He went out there. He looked up in the skies. Following after what the Lord said, and he saw the stars. And you can't count stars. If you've ever been out there before, you know you can't. And God said to him, look up at the sky and count the star, indeed you can. Then he said, so shall your offspring be. Wow. Now, I don't know what Abraham was thinking of at that point. It goes on and says he believed God, and God counted as his faith, as righteousness. But it goes on from there a little bit, and we'll talk about it a little more. But I want to tell you, what an amazing moment. If you haven't been out there, you know, in Texas, you can do that. Living in New York for so many years, it's hard to see any stars at all. But I used to love doing that. I used to love taking the teenagers, the youth groups, and we would go camping. But what we would do is, I love going backpacking, you know, where you put the things on your back and you carry everything with you. And we used to go up to the mountains, the Catskill Mountains. And one of the things I like to do was to go actually in the late fall and sometimes early winter. It's better, no mosquitoes, and you can see a lot more. The trees, you know, the leaves are down. And I remember this one particular time, we went up to the top of the mountain, and we camped there. In fact, the next morning, we were covered with snow. That was how cold it was. But I remember sitting there and looking up in the skies and seeing kind of like what Abraham would have seen. All these stars. It was a moonless night, so you can see the stars really well. Oh, a gazillion amount of them. You can't count them. And I want to tell you that those moments are precious for me too. Not quite like Abraham by any stretch. Because God gave me a promise too. I remember when I was 19 years old, when I walked forward and I said, Lord, I want to serve you. I don't care what you do with me. I'm going to serve you for the rest of my life. I remember the Lord speaking to my heart very clearly at the age of 19. That he has something very special for me. Something special in my life. You see, one of the problems we have today is that people, well, we're kind of like the phrase they use as sheepo, you know? People, sheepo, like sheep. Maybe the best way to understand it, because we might not know sheep too well, is hamsters. We used to have all kinds of creatures in our household. Hamsters, one of them. You know, you get a couple of hamsters, next thing you know, you have about 25 of them. And what you got to do for hamsters is keep them busy, and you get these little wheels. You know the hamster wheels? Yeah. You put it in there, and they get on that wheel, they just keep running. You're like, where are you going? They don't care. They don't know. They just run. And it's what happens with people sometimes. We are just kind of like hamsters, you know. We're just running. We're living this life. And I want to tell you, we live a life devoid of a promise. Because I want you know to understand that if someone has a promise, if someone believes that there's something special that somebody has given to him, especially the name God, you live life differently. Instead of being just what they tell you you need to be. You know, every culture's got something that we tell our children what they need to be. Every family's got certain things too. And sometimes even ourselves, we think this is all there is. Have you experienced a time in which God took you out and said, look up to the sky and count if you can? Have you experienced the promise of God in your life? Yes, we know the word of God here is if you give your life to Jesus Christ, you are going to have eternal life. We know these are great promises. You're going to be a different person. You are going to be a new creation. We know all those things, and that's great. And they're all true and so precious. But I want you to understand that each one of you sitting right here in this seat, in this room, you too has a special. You have a special promise that God has given to you. Barbara told me when we were dating, not too much into it, she said God told her that she's going to be a pastor's wife. So I'm like, I better be a pastor then, right? Well, God didn't really tell her what that pastor's going to be. That's going to be a Chinese guy with buck teeth and on, right? You know that. But she was like, I'm going to be a pastor's wife. And the promise came true. And it's been a wonderful 36 years of our lives. What kind of promise has God given to you? I hope you have it. I hope you get a sense of it. If not, I want to tell you, you want to pursue that. Because God gave a promise. God gave a promise to Abraham, and it didn't even make any sense. He's 85 years old. He has no children at all. And it's like, God, you give me this promise that I am going to be a father of a great nation, offsprings and on that cannot even be counted upon. And when you look back, as we have, we can see that to be so true. What is the promise that God has given to you? I hope you know it. Because if you don't, you need to. You do not want to go through life and finishing life. Yes, you know Jesus Christ. Yes, you have eternal life. But you want to miss it. You don't want to miss the promise that God has given to you. You don't want to miss that. You don't want to just pursue something that the world wants you to pursue. You don't just want to make money for some company in this world. You don't want to do that. You want to live that promise out. As Abraham did. Now, the second thing we want to look at, though, we can't help it. We're sinful. And sinful man responds to that promise. Sometimes it's disappointing. This is Abraham and Sarah. So God already gave them this promise. But meanwhile, they have no children. Sarah is barren. Now, I know they lived longer back then. But still, when you are in your 80s, you know, and 90, you don't expect to have a child. That just doesn't usually happen. And so Sarah decided, you know what? I know what God said to Abraham. I know that, you know, he has this thing in mind, but it's not happening. So I know what to do. I'm going to help God a little bit. You say, well, that's ridiculous. You don't need to help God. But I want to declare to you, we help God all the time. We're constantly helping God. Because you see, our God is not able, or he missed it, or maybe I didn't hear that right. That's what we do. So Sarah did the only thing, and it's fine within her culture now. So let's not be too critical of her. She had a slave woman. That's what happens. Kind of her servant, you know? Kind of her person that she tells whatever. She says, okay, Hagar, God said Abraham's going to have children. We don't have any children yet. So it's obvious that he's going to have children with somebody else other than me. And instead of him getting another wife, why don't I just give you to him? That's not against cultural mores back then. And Abraham, hearing God directly under the stars, nevertheless gave into it. And so they did. And so she was pregnant. And you know the name of the son, right? His name is Ishmael. You know, we just mess up things all the time. We love to do things, you know, helping God a little bit. God, this is not happening. Let me go and do that for you. You're not doing this right. Let me help you with that. You know, that job's not working for me, God. Let me get another job. You know, that's just what we do. So Ishmael is born. And in case you don't know what Ishmael, who he is the father of the Arab nation. He's the father of all those people that have been a plague upon Israel for all those hundreds and thousands of years. In fact, he's the father of the person who was born into him. We're studying it today in Sunday school. He's the father of Islam, Muhammad, out of Saudi Arabia. You want to talk about consequences of a bad choice Sarah made? That's just what we do. God needs our help. No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. When God makes a promise, he will fulfill that promise. What we need to do is believe him. I don't know how many people I've talked to that it's like, I look at it and I'm like, why would you do something like that? Didn't God promise? Hasn't he revealed it to you that he's a real God who can, who is? Let me tell you what Paul said to the Galatians. We've been working through this for the last 7-8 weeks. Guys, God has set you free. He's given you a great and awesome life. All you have to do is embrace it. Let the chains fall off you. God has given it and done it. You don't have to do anymore. Don't go back. But we say, but God, I think you need some help. No, he doesn't. I want to tell you that he wants us to embrace the promise. The promise to be free, the promise to live out a life that is amazingly awesome, the promise to see and experience the things that God will do in your life, the promise to see prayers answered, miracles happen, the promise to see that you can impact not just yourself, but your world, your family, the promise to do all that. It can happen, it has happened, it will happen if you will embrace it. I think sometimes we're just our worst enemies, you know. But you know, you got to understand what's happening. You have to understand that this gift that God has given to us breaks every strategy. It messes everything that the enemy does in our lives. It changes, it affects anything that he wants to do in our community. It changes our family. All these things are there. So the enemy will not let that happen. So again and again and again, the enemy is going to take you back to say, oh, no, no, you can't do that. God won't do that. You need to add this in. You need to do this. You need to do this yourself. You know, you need to do all that. And next thing you know, you're wrapped up in your own life. And the life that God has for you is gone. It's not there. You can't even recognize it anymore. You can't see it. And that's why next week, as we go into chapter 5, I want you to understand what happens. That when Paul says in Galatians, you know, you have to live by the Spirit. You have to allow yourself to be completely immersed by the Holy Spirit in your life and begin to see and experience all these wonderful things. Things that you can't possibly imagine if you did it yourself. There's only so much we can do. But the great thing is God has called us to do some great things, much greater. You know, sometimes you just don't know. You just don't understand why. Why you want to go back to prison and the chains to be locked up again. But that's sinful nature that we have, and we have to trust the Lord in it. Today I want to ask you to join me in prayer. I want to give you some time, just for this moment, if you bow your heads with me. Take this moment to go before the Lord, to think through and pray through the promise that God has given to you. Maybe you have to go back a long ways. Maybe not. Remember what the Lord has spoken to you about. Would you go and ask Him to make it real? Would you go and ask Him to give you the faith you need to believe? Would you go and ask the Lord to forgive you? If you need to, for forgetting and for taking your life into your own hands and putting yourself back in bondage again. Would you do that? Gracious Heavenly Father, I want to come before you today. What a simple message you have for me. That you gave us a promise. Oh Lord God, thank you that we have been rescued from the depths of sin. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we don't have to worry about the consequences of it. But Lord God, at this time in this place, would you, Lord, use each one of us to fulfill that plan, that wonderful promise that you have given to us? To make us people that are free. Free to thrive, free to serve you, free to impact our community and our world. Oh Father, there are some here that are struggling with that. Would you give them freedom to embrace you, to embrace your promise? Oh Lord, thank you. In Jesus' name we pray.